Let's open together in our Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I'll be reading verses 25 through verse 40. And as I mentioned already, our theme for this morning is revival at the table. And let me give you a bit of explanation before I read. If you look at verses 25, 37, and 40. And in each of those verses, there is a petition from the psalmist to God, give me life. Give me life. And as I mentioned, in the older versions, that Hebrew verb is translated revive. Revive me according to your word. Revive me in your ways. Lord, revive me in your righteousness. And so let's give our careful hearing to the Word of God, beginning in verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my ear to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things, and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Amen. We trust that the Lord will bless the reading, preaching, hearing of his word to us this morning. As I mentioned already, our theme for this morning is revival at the table. And I wonder what you think of when you hear that term, revival. Or what do you think when you hear phrases or ideas like recommitting your life to Christ? Or rededicating yourself to Jesus Christ. I think for many of us, those words, those phrases carry strange memories of maybe revival meetings, or altar calls, or various kinds of public recommitments. And these are things that are not really part of our practice in Reformed churches. We don't see them much. And I think it is fair to say that in our day, the abuses that we have seen associated with revival has maybe caused us to neglect the entire concept. And we know that that term revival is so abused and overused today that we just don't use it much anymore. And part of me wonders, you know, the ESV is a newer translation. Is that why they have abandoned that term when the older versions use the word revive or revival? I think we have to be careful. Has the abuse of the concept of revival caused us to not think about it? Has it caused us to forget our constant need for revival in Christ? Friends, revival is a biblical concept, and it is an ongoing need of every single one of us. None of us have arrived in the Christian life. We know that our faith is weak. We know that our relationship with Jesus Christ is not what it should be. We know that we can so easily drift into a lifelessness. And that's what revival is. It means to bring to life. Give me life is the prayer. Friends, we all need revival. And again, despite the use of these words and phrases, we all need to recommit ourselves, rededicate ourselves to our Savior who loves us, who purchased us to be His. So what is true revival? Look at the top of your outline in your bulletin. I have a brief definition. What is revival? Let's recover this word. Let's not let it be taken from us. Revival is an ongoing need of every Christian met by a sovereign Savior who renews our faith and devotion to Him through His chosen means. Revival is a need of every one of us, and yet is a need that is graciously met by our Savior who loves us. And His table is a place where He loves to bring revival. If you look at your quote of the day on the inside of your bulletin, the more full-orbed quote from John Piper, and here's what he says on this idea of revival. He says, the idea of revival originates in the reality that, on the one hand, God is the decisive giver of all spiritual life. And on the other hand, humans, even those who are born again and part of God's covenant family, from time to time drift into a kind of lifelessness and lethargy and backsliding, indifference and weakness. And when you put those two together, God as the giver of life, and man as ever drifting towards lifelessness, what you get is the need for the hope of reviving, coming back to life, a fresh outpouring of God's life-giving Spirit on His people. That is what revival is. God is the decisive giver of all spiritual life, so we seek Him for this revival. And so that's what I want us to think about this morning as we prepare to come to the table. We need revival, and yet the Lord's table is a place where Jesus meets with you and revives you by His Holy Spirit. But let's begin by thinking about the means by which revival is pursued. And we can compare human means versus the divine means of revival. Now again, seeking revival, recommitting one's life to Christ, rededicating yourself to your Savior who gave Himself for you, these are right instincts for the Christian. Again, we should sense that we are not where we should be in our faith. That we should understand that our faith is weak and know how often we drift from Christ and fall into this spiritual lifelessness. We always stand in need of revival. But the question is, how are we going to pursue it? How are you going to recommit or rededicate yourselves to Christ? In other words, what means will you use to pursue revival? Think first of all about some of the human means, the man-made ways in which revival is pursued today among some Christians. You may have memories of the revivals that took place outside in a big tent sort of high energy events. Maybe a Christian concert. Many of us have grown up with altar calls. Some people are even rebaptized, seeking revival and recommitting themselves to Christ. Some seek revival through deprivation. If you think of the practice of Lent, giving up something, depriving yourself. But all of those means have one thing in common. They are man-centered. They begin with man's efforts. And so often, many of these things involve human pageantry. In other words, they involve some kind of very public, many times excessive display that is centered on the individual. You walk an aisle, you speak up at a meeting. It's very individual. It's not corporate. And as I mentioned at the opening of the service, that there are only two kinds of religion in this world. Every false religion is a religion of human achievement. It centers on what man can do, on man's effort, but the true religion is one of divine accomplishment. It rests solely on what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And these human means, what religion do they reek of? They reek of that religion of human achievement. And none of these things will bring true and lasting revival because they are man-made and they begin and they end with human effort. You see, our great God knows that we need revival. The very existence of such a sacrament tells us that our God knows that we need this. He knows we need motivation. He knows we need opportunity to rededicate ourselves to Him. And yet He also knows that we lack the strength and sometimes the willingness to do it ourselves. And that is the gracious design of the Lord's Supper. This sacrament is a God-given means of revival that is accompanied by God's promises. And unlike those human means, it is a means that comes from God, it focuses on God, and it leads us to God. Friends, in the Lord's Supper, we have a divine means of revival. It's a real means of grace in which Christ promises by His Spirit to revive us. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, we are told that as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, what do? You proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. You see, the Lord's Supper primarily drives us from ourselves and from our own efforts to Christ. The Lord's Supper, we remember His sacrifice. We proclaim His death until He comes. And that word proclaim is an important word. It's not just, when we observe the Lord's Supper, we're not just conveying some mere information about the cross of Christ. The proclaim means that is an authoritative proclamation of all that Christ has done. And so the Lord's Supper teaches us something critical about revival. Number one, we all need it. The Lord would not have given this sacrament if we didn't need revival. He knows our faith is weak. He knows how often we get caught in sin and drift into a lifelessness. And so He kindly gives us this sacrament. We need revival. But secondly, it teaches us that true revival and renewal begins with us taking our focus off of ourselves and placing it squarely upon Christ and His sacrifice. Again, that is the gracious design of the supper. It's a means of revival that starts with the gracious work of our Savior. It brings us to His cross, His sacrifice, His promises. Now, it does call us to a recommitment. It does call us to a rededication. That's part of the Lord's Supper. But it doesn't do that until it first focuses all of our attention on the source of that revival. I think in this way, the Westminster Confession of Faith presents this balance. First, we look to the Savior who gives revival, and only after being strengthened by Him do we then, in His power, in the power of the Holy Spirit, rededicate ourselves. Listen to the balance presented in our confession. This is Westminster Confession 29:1. It says that Christ instituted the Lord's Supper for the perpetual remembrance of the sacrifice of Himself and His death, sealing all the benefits thereof unto true believers, their spiritual nourishment and growth in Him. That's the primary focus, the revival that Christ gives to us at His table. And it is only after we have sought Christ in His Holy Spirit do we then, in His power, recommit ourselves. The confession goes on to articulate this, their further engagement in and to all duties which they owe to Him, and to be a bond and pledge of their communion with Him and with each other as the members of His mystical body. So the revival comes from Christ. And it is only in Him and through Him that we are then able to rededicate ourselves to His service. Now, compare and contrast for a second these human means that we thought about with the divine means. And the Lord's Supper is not the only means of revival. But those human means of revival are usually very public, with an emphasis on the individual. But in this sacrament, there's nothing that is going to single you out. You see, while it is public, it is also corporate. We do it together. We all seek our Savior together. We all seek revival from Him together. We all rededicate ourselves together. And while human means tend to be very outwardly showy, outwardly exciting, the Lord's Supper and all of the means of grace are really pretty ordinary. See, the Lord in His grace and in His wisdom has provided ways in which we can regularly have our faith renewed and revived. And that is why these ways of strengthening our faith have been called the ordinary means of grace. Prayer, preaching of the Word, the reading of the Word, the sacraments, these are not elaborate or fancy methods of giving us what we need to confirm our faith in Christ. In fact, to an outside observer, they don't seem special at all. They make use of very common elements. You know, think about it. It's bread, it's wine, it's human speech, it's water and baptism. Things that outwardly are not exciting. And I think sometimes we chafe under the simplicity of the means of grace, but there is an intention in that. These means are ordinary, they're simple, so that we might never trust in the means themselves. We might always recognize that the power comes from a God who stands behind these means. But secondly, let's think about how Christ brings revival at His table. How does He revive us? Well, very simply, this sacrament leads us to Christ as the source of life. 1 Corinthians 10:16, Paul writes, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation? Is it not communion in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation or a communion in the body of Christ?" This sacrament brings us into a greater communion with the one who is the source of life. And in fact, I think all of the titles of the sacrament that we find in the New Testament point to this sovereign work of God in bringing this revival. It's the Lord's Supper. He provides the meal. You don't bring anything to this table. It's His table. It belongs to Him, and it is communion with Him. It focuses us upon the gospel and His finished work and His ongoing work and His promises to us. And this idea comes across in the Old Testament when in the older versions we find that word revive or revival. That word is used, the word revival is used to translate two different Hebrew words, two different Hebrew verbs. One is cause me to return, and the other word is cause me to live. Think about that for a moment. Cause me to return. Cause me to live. And the idea there is that the prayer is, Lord, cause me to return to You as the source of life. And cause me to live, because to return to You is to live. What we see is that this need for revival and God's promises to return us to Himself and to cause us to live in Him, these things that are promised, that are signified and sealed here, are reflected in the Psalter. Remember, the Psalter is our praise book that Christ has given to us. In it, He instructs us how to praise Him, and He also instructs us how to seek this revival. What we find in the Psalms is the very same idea that is signified and sealed here at this table. Number one, we need revival. Number two, God is the sovereign giver of that revival. In Psalm 119, we find the psalmist asking God to revive him. And each time he asks for revival, it is in or according to some promise or some attribute of God. In other words, he recognizes that revival is not his work, that it's God's work in him. And if you look at your outline, I have a few of those examples where we have petitions for revival in our songbook. And I want you to listen for those key phrases, according to or in your. Verse 25, revive me according to your word. Verse 37, revive me in your way. Verse 40, revive me in your righteousness. Verse 88, revive me according to your loving kindness. Verse 107, revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Verse 149, Lord, revive me according to your justice. Verse 154, revive me according to your word. And verse 159, revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Revival sought in and according to God's promises, God's power, who God is. And again, I don't think it's any coincidence that these petitions are in our praise book. This is Jesus saying to us, take these petitions on your lips and make them your own. Here is Jesus teaching us that we need revival, and He's showing us how to seek that revival. And He's assuring us that He is the one who is pleased to give it to us. And so friends, we must seek revival. We need to ask for it. How often do we ask for it? But when we ask for it, we do so according to God's grace. We seek revival in Christ. Let's revisit that initial definition. Revival. An ongoing need of every Christian. But it's a need that is met by a sovereign Savior who renews our faith and devotion to Him through His chosen means. And friends, this is good news. This is very good news. Are you stagnant in your faith today? Are you struggling with some sin? Does your walk with Christ feel lifeless? Is there a complacency maybe that has set in? Are you having trouble trusting in Jesus Christ in uncertain times? Are you feeling anxious or angry? Well, your Savior still loves you. He knows our struggles. And that's why He has provided a table set for you. A table to revive you. A table to strengthen you. A table that you can leave in the power of His Spirit, rededicating yourself to the One who bought you. And so as we approach the table this morning, we need to do so, first of all, understand that we need revival. That we all need to recommit ourselves to our Savior. We need to come admitting that our faith is weak, that our relationship with our Savior is not where it should be. We need to come admitting that there are sins that have just become normal and acceptable to us. But we can come with hope. You see, this is part of coming in a worthy manner. We come recognizing our unworthiness. But you can come seeking Christ in this means of grace for revival. Don't start with who you are and what you can do to revive yourself. Trust in who Christ is and what He has done and what He is doing for you. And come and receive that grace from Christ. Receive that renewal and then leave the table. Rededicated, recommitted to your Savior who loves you, knowing that you do so in His strength and in the strength of His Holy Spirit. Come today with some of those prayers of the psalmist on your lips. Lord, revive me in Your way. Lord, revive me in Your righteousness. Revive me according to Your loving kindness. Revive me according to Your word. He who has promised is faithful, and He will do it for you. Let's pray. Our gracious God, You are so kind to us as Your children. For we know, Lord, that we so often drift into lifelessness, complacency, sin. We know our faith is weak. We know that we are not dedicated to our Savior as we should be. And yet, Lord, your love for us does not change. And you stoop so low to your sinful, weak children, and you give us this wonderful table that is set before us to revive our faith in our glorious Savior. Lord, may we be encouraged by this, that you do indeed still love us, and you want to see your children prosper. But help us to come with those prayers that you have given to us in our praise book, petitions to revive us in and according to who you are and what you have done. Lord, make this a true means of grace to us. Give us the eyes of faith to see our great Savior and to look beyond the physical elements and to see Christ crucified set before us. Lord, we thank you for your kind love to us, your great patience with us. Lord, you are a great God and a great Savior. And we pray in your name. Amen.